Good morning. Good to see a bunch of you guys out there. There is a lot of you. Although, let's be honest, it makes it a little scarier up here for me. So, right now, at home, two little boys, and they love stories. Well, actually, mostly just one loves stories, and the other one listens for a little bit and then wants to go play. He's a little too young. But Elliot loves to hear stories, and every time it's time to go to bed, he wants to hear the lion's story. I think he either looks at it on a phone or in a book at least once a day. And if we try to read him another Bible story before he goes to bed, we usually have to follow up with the lion story. So I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be looking at that story in the Bible for devotions. It's found in Daniel 6. The Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail in this story. It's a really good story, though. I really like it. But I think you have to read between the lines a little bit to understand what all really went down. It just tells what happened, and it doesn't go into a lot of detail. So I'm gonna read the chapter, Daniel 6, here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that if it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, which heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set in his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel, "Thou God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his place and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and a sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, O King, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. That part's missing in all the children's Bible stories, in case you guys were wondering. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescued, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So I really like this story. There's a lot of interesting things in it. In the end of the story, it really brings a lot of glory to God. I'm going to go through just a little bit about some thoughts I had on it. All the way at the beginning of the story, it talks about how Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. I think he was living a life that was bringing glory to God, even before the whole Daniel in the lion's den. I think that the people around him, it says that the excellent spirit in him, I think that people could really see God working through him. And this group of princes and presidents, I'm not sure if it was all 122 of them or not, but they became very, very envious of Daniel, and were trying to think of a way to destroy him. It didn't seem like they just wanted to just discredit him. They wanted to kill him. And they couldn't find anything against him. And I don't know, that's kind of hard for me to imagine. For Christians, for me, myself, today, even for God's people back then, that wasn't the norm. For Christians today, I think a lot of times there is a lot of things that can be found fault with my life, and I know with God's people at the time, I mean, they were taken into captivity because they were disobedient. But it really spoke to me that, you know, that is something to strive for and really something that I want to be doing in my life. Anyway, so they made these princes made a law, tricked the king into signing it, I guess you could say. It was really probably a dumb law. I get it that at different times people would worship a person, but I imagine that a lot of these people had their own gods that they would have been praying to, and you know, they didn't really care. I guess that's really what envy can do to you. They didn't care if they went, they had to suffer too. They just, anything to get rid of Daniel. And then, you know, Daniel, to me, I've always thought that Daniel didn't have to go out and, you know, out where everyone could for sure see him and pray that way. It seemed to me like he could have just as easily closed his windows and went in his closet and prayed. That would have seemed like it would have been. But he didn't do that. You know, I think that probably long before in Daniel's life, he had purposed in his heart to do this thing, to pray, and he followed through with it, and I think God blessed him for it. You know, I've heard of other things. I was kind of thinking about that, and I know of some other people who have kind of purposed in their heart to do something, and I think they can be little things. I've heard of actually several people who have said that, you know what, when we travel commercially, we're going to do our very best to try to minister in an airplane to minister to the person sitting beside you, and that's something they do. It can be that we can decide to volunteer at something. I think that a lot of practical application here. It can be that we decide that we're going to pray a half hour a day or whatever it is. Take time out one day of the week and pray for a certain cause or something like that. But throughout the story, you know, it gives glory to God, and that's really the point of this story. And I think that's one way that God was able to receive a lot of glory. King tried to get out of it then, and that's kind of an interesting, I won't go into a lot of it, but he couldn't get out of it. And so he tossed him into the den of lions and sealed it with his seal. You know, last time I seen lions was in a zoo, and I'll be honest, they were a little tame. And if someone tossed you into the pen with the lions in the zoo, the survival would be pretty likely, actually, I think. They didn't seem all that aggressive. But I don't think that this was at all the case. I think these were hungry and vicious, wild creatures. Every culture has ways of dealing. You know, with the Romans, they put people on the cross and made an example of them. They were very good at it. It was not something that didn't really work. It did work. The Persians, a couple chapters earlier, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire, the Persians actually worshipped fire. And I'm imagining that was pretty effective as well. I guess this was the Babylonians at this time, and I was reading somewhere that this was like the most ferocious and gruesome way for their culture. This was the worst of the worst. I don't think it was anything like getting tossed into a zoo. I think that it was pretty vicious. Well, and then later in the chapter, it talks about how the other guys that were thrown in didn't even make it to the bottom of the pit before they were all squished up, really. And you know, going into this, I don't think that Daniel knew what the outcome was going to be. I really don't. I think that he was willing to do whatever to give God the glory. But, you know, sometimes that means I guess I had to think of right away the story of Jim Elliot. You know, sometimes dying is what gives God the most glory. And I think that Daniel didn't really know what was going to happen. Now we read the story and be like, oh, yeah, God got a lot of glory by saving him. And that's true, he did. But I don't think Daniel knew that. But he was in the den of lions. And then, of course, the next part is what makes it a good bedtime story. Is that God sent an angel to save him. Believe me, that would not be a good bedtime story if that part wasn't there. I've always wondered what it was like in the that night in the den of lions. You know, when I was a kid, I always imagined it was, oh, you've got all these cuddly big lions. You know, that would be pretty sweet. You cuddle up to and sleep pretty nicely. But later on, I was like, well, it was probably very dark. Absolutely no light if they sealed the cave. It probably smelled horrible. But I don't know. The angel could have easily made it comfortable, brought some Tic Tacs for the lions and nightlight. Interesting. Just my imagination, but a couple chapters earlier, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't smell at all like smoke. So anyway, you know, at the end, There was. It doesn't say how his night went much, but in the end, there was no harm done to him. I don't know if they tossed him into the pit or den. Seems like he'd have at least got bruised up when he fell down in. But he said there was no harm done. And to me, you know, we all face spiritual, maybe physical lions in our own way, but we do serve a God who is able to deliver us, and we just always don't understand how he works. I'm sure, you know, Jim Elliot didn't understand how that was all working either, but we do serve a God who is able to deliver us from that. Kind of in closing, you know, we're not really in Daniel's shoes. We're not really, I don't know, for me, I can tend to think, yeah, well, that was Daniel, and he was put up, you know, he had a chance to really glorify God. But I don't think it's really any different than for us today. You know, Daniel decided that he's going to pray three times a day. Or that's how I like to think of it, is he decided he's going to do that. And at the time when he probably decided that, I don't think that was a big deal. It, later on, it became a much bigger deal. So ultimately, besides being a really good bedtime story, the idea of this story is to bring glory to God. And I guess Daniel really leaves an example for me in a lot of different ways of how I can live my life so that I can bring glory to God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for each one here today, Lord. Pray that we could live our lives in a way that could bring glory and honor to you, Lord. Be with the rest of the people who lead out in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen.